just close my eyes again. Welcome, everybody, for this is no longer the end zone. Kevin and I discussed this much during this holiday week. As we bring in the new year, we felt it was only appropriate to bring in the new name of the show, which is dedicated to the only quarterback in NFL history with an undefeated record, the dreamy Jimmy GQ.
Jimmy GQ.
So dreamy.
He's handsome.
Tom Brady light.
Tom Brady
light. Kevin?
Whoa! What?
Damn. Oh, wow. What happened, dude?
I have a question for you. Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
Why is the song Dreamweaver stuck in my head?
Oh, I don't know. I've been hearing it around too. Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Kevin, this is the wild card weekend.
Woohoo! Wild card playoffs are starting, and the Raiders aren't in it, but they'll be okay.
Well, yeah. Well, we got a lot of Raider news to talk about. But before we do anything, Kevin, it is first of all Happy New Year to all of our listeners.
Yes, Happy New Year. Playoffs. Playoffs. Sorry.
Playoffs.
You know you got to do that soundbite every time we say playoffs.
Yeah. Playoffs.
Well, it is January 2nd, the day we're recording this. And Kevin, would you like to inform the good people of where they can find not only the Jimmy GQ show, but the End Zone and all the rest of the great shows on the Fantasy?
Yes, the Jimmy GQ network can be found on fpnet.podbean.com. You can also find Jimmy GQ network on Podbean app. And the Jimmy GQ Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and the Facebook Jimmy GQ Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at jimmygqfandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. And on Instagram, we're at jimmygq@fandompodcastnetwork. And on Twitter, we're at jimmygq@fanpodnetwork. All of those things are true except for the Jimmy GQ part.
But wait, Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
At Jimmy GQ at Spartan_Phoenix in Instagram.
And of course you can find me, Kyle, on Twitter at Jimmy GQ A Kyle W, or on Instagram at Jimmy GQ A Kyle Fandom. And you know, look up Jimmy Garoppolo on Twitter. It's actually a pretty interesting follow,
so. I think he's like he's Jimmy G underscore 10. Is that his real Twitter?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But Kevin, he's so dreamy.
He is dreamy.
He's undefeated, even.
He is undefeated.
Best record in the history.
Undefeated. Wow.
He has got the best record of any starting quarterback in the NFL, in the history of the NFL.
Jimmy G.
Tom Brady, greatest of all time. No. No. Oh, sorry. It's Jimmy G.
Man, that team is rallying behind him and that jaw, aren't they?
Oh, well, you know, how could you not? It's so pretty. But before we get into wild card weekend, let's take a quick look back because it was a fun and crazy week 17. And let's go ahead and just start real quick with Jimmy GQ and the 49ers against the LA Rams, who were trying to pull a fast one. They weren't playing anybody, and the Rams were really trying hard to get the fourth seed because they wanted to avoid the Vikings in the second round. It didn't quite work that way.
No.
But there is something I do want to address, Kevin. Did you see the 49er player get laid out?
No, I did not see that. What happened?
Wide receiver Marquise Goodwin, who's had a concussion history.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I did see that. Yeah, I remember he was carted out, but he was waving to the people that he was okay. But yeah, he got
hit. It was very scary. He was knocked unconscious.
Yeah, no, I did see that. I remember that.
From what I hear, he's okay. They're obviously their season is over, but that was a scary moment. And I mean, this is a guy that we talked about a couple weeks ago had a huge game right out, and he had found out that day before that his newborn son had died.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
So this has been a guy who's been through a lot. So I just wanted to shoot out some recovery wishes to him and hope everything's going to be okay. But yeah, I got to give it to San Francisco. That's a good team. And then they're going to have a ton of salary cap space in the offseason. If they can get some weapons to go around Jimmy Garoppolo, look out.
Jimmy GQ. What type of do you think they're going to franchise him, or do you think they're going to just try and sign him straight up for like a multi-year deal?
My guess is going to be they will franchise him, but they get with the idea of signing him to a multi-year deal because they're going to protect their investment at this point.
Would it be cheaper for them to just go ahead and sign him to a multi-year deal so they don't have to pay that franchise tag straight up?
But here's how it works with the franchise tag. You franchise somebody, you do have until a certain date to get them signed to a long-term deal before the franchise tag officially kicks in for the season. Okay. That's what makes the whole Kirk Cousins and Washington thing even more bizarre is the fact that they couldn't get him to a deal and have now franchised him for 2 straight years.
Wow. Jeez. Okay.
So but let's talk about some of the games that had some meaning because there were some interesting games. And Kevin, I think the best story coming out of week 17 was the joy of watching the video of the Buffalo Bills making the playoffs.
So they take care of business. They win, right?
And in a great game where defensive tackle who's been with the Bills for 11 seasons, never smelled the playoffs during this whole run, Kyle Williams scores a rushing touchdown.
So they win their game, right? Against the Dolphins, 22-16. Then they gotta wait for the later game, right?
Cincinnati Baltimore was playing at the same time, but it was running slow. But Cincinnati had taken a good lead in that game, and they had let Baltimore come back and take the lead, and it looked like Baltimore was going to win that game.
That's right. Yeah. And
then on fourth down, Andy Dalton pulls a little magic out and hits Tyler Kroft on a fourth down reception that only gets a first down, but he ends up going all the way. To quote Chris Berman, he could go all the way.
Yeah, watching that video of the Bills in their locker room, they went nuts.
It was just so good to see. Buffalo's been such a great franchise in the history of the NFL, who's really, even though they've had amazing success, still know nothing but heartbreak and hardship. And, you know, they were a mess at points during this season. I'm just glad to see them make the playoffs.
Yeah, it's been a long drought for them, and they definitely deserve it. And I got to give a shout-out to one of my best friend, Buddy Bob, who I've known for many, many, many years. And we do a lot of little football bets and stuff like that. And he's very, very excited that Bills finally make the playoffs. And I remember several years ago, we went to Oakland to watch the Raiders and Bills play. We went there together, and that was a lot of fun. Raiders were able to come around and win that one. But, I'm happy for them. They're, one thing I do want to say is that I know how loyal that fan base is. Next to the Raiders and a couple other teams, some of the most loyal fan base sticks with them throughout the thick. So congratulations to the Bills and the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of other interesting things of note in the AFC. Tennessee and Jacksonville played a very ugly football game, but Tennessee won the game to make it to the playoffs, where they will be meeting my Kansas City Chiefs on a trip to Arrowhead on Wild Card weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we'll get into that in a little bit. But
I gotta ask you, I didn't watch the game, so you need the highlights. Cowboys won 6-0 against the Eagles. Did the Eagles really? Did they put anyone on the field?
The Eagles started their starters in that game, and Nick Foles looked awful again.
Wow.
The Eagles are in trouble. I feel bad for Eagle fans because they've been great this year supporting Carson Wentz, but that team is not a playoff team with Nick Foles at quarterback. And the road to the Super Bowl is, I think, comes down between the Rams and the Vikings at this point because the Vikings played all their starters because they were still trying to clinch the number 2 seed. They looked pretty impressive against a Bears team that, I have to admit, put up a fight. They just don't have the horses to keep up. But, I mean, I watched that Rams team this year, and Todd Gurley right now is on another planet
than everybody else. Yes, he is.
I would not want to face that team in the playoffs. I think Minnesota is the only team that matches up well with the Rams because of their defense. I mean, it's going to be interesting because I believe the Rams open up with the Atlanta Falcons.
Speaking of, we're able to beat the Panthers. Panthers don't get the great seed. They got to go to
New Orleans.
But the upset that really surprised me was Cardinals beating Seattle in Seattle.
You know what, though? I am not surprised by that because during the Arizona Cardinals, Arenas's are run there. Bruce Arenas's run. The Arizona Cardinals were four, including this past game, were 4-1 in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's Seattle didn't want to make the playoffs. Seattle has just been destroyed by injuries, and they've got some holes pretty gaping that they need to fix. I'm not going to say Seattle's done as a contender, but they've got some work to do in this offseason. They've got to get some offensive line help. They got to find a running back, and they need to get a little younger on defense.
Yeah.
But we have the playoffs set now. Of course, another upset, Tampa Bay upsetting New Orleans.
Yeah. What happened there?
Well, Tampa, and I know you've probably seen this a little bit, Kevin, because they did play the Falcons on Monday night, and they also played the Panthers last week, and they were in all of those games, and they've stayed in contention with New Orleans all through that game. And even though Winston was playing with turnovers, he made some incredible passes. And I think for one thing, and we're going to get into this here in a little bit, 24 hours before the game, there'd been all the speculation of Gruden going back to Tampa Bay. And then these Raiders rumors kicked in, which I know we're going to talk about in a little bit. And Tampa Bay, 24 hours before the game, announced that Dirk Cutter, their head coach, would be back for next season. And I think that took a little pressure off the team, feeling like they were playing for their head coach's job as much as their own.
Right.
And I think Tampa Bay played a little bit looser.
Well, let me ask you this. You're close to that scene. Do you think Dirk Cutter should keep the job?
I look at it two ways. And we'll talk more about the Gruden side of things, because I'm kind of mixed on the Gruden bag, too, and I'll explain why. But Tampa Bay has been notorious the last few years. Their last four coaches haven't lasted any longer than two seasons, and you don't get any consistency with that. Plus, I will say this for the Buccaneers. Their defense got destroyed by injuries this season. They missed Gerald McCoy for several games. Levante David missed several games. Noah Spence missed several games. Vernon Hargraves missed several games. They had a lot of injury problems, but they have some holes too. I think maybe a lot of people jumped the gun. You had the Hard Knocks curse. I think a lot of people thought Jameis was going to take another step with Jackson coming into the fold. There's pieces in Tampa, but they need to learn to win, and they need to add a few more things into that mix. I think people were maybe a year or two ahead on.
I don't think you had a standout running back either. Doug Martin's done.
No, but Doug Martin will be gone at the offseason, but they might have found at least something with Peyton Barber. He played very well the last quarter of the season for them, but they finished with the number 7 pick in the draft. Look for them to add either a stud defensive player or, depending on how things fall, a top-notch running back.
Okay. Yeah.
But let's talk, too, Kevin, one of the other things I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about our teams.
Yeah.
Now, for me with Kansas City, this game meant much of anything. But we did get the win over the Denver Broncos. But the big thing for this game was the debut of Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
Did he play the whole game?
He did play the entire game. And let's also remember, he basically played with all the backups.
Yeah, he had over 200 yards and a couple touchdowns, didn't he?
No, he didn't throw any touchdowns.
No?
He had a couple called back by penalties.
Okay.
And then one called back because he stepped out of bounds right as he was diving for the end zone. But he played very well and very solid. I think he was 22 for 35 or something like that, 258 yards. Didn't make many mistakes and made some throws that I've never seen Alex Smith make. I would have liked to have seen what he could have done with the full complement. They started Kareem Hunt. He got one carry, rushed for 35 yards and a touchdown on one carry, took the rushing title, and then they benched him.
You've clinched the rushing title, Mr. Hunt. You're done now.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing about this, though, is Kansas City went into that game, and they were already shorthanded on running backs because Charcandrick West was down with the flu. So they didn't have him on the roster. And then during the game, the Allen Hunt, who is their third-string running back, sprained his ankle. They were running their fullback, Anthony Sherman, most of that game, but they had to have Kareem Hunt on standby because they had no other healthy running backs at the time.
Yeah, geez, wow.
Well, it looks like you guys have a future quarterback, so.
Yeah, I'll be curious. They're going to have a decision to make in the offseason. It's going to make things interesting for Kansas City. But, Kevin, let's talk about the Raiders, because they've been in the news big time. But Kevin, I'm going to just flat out say it. That had to be to watch as a Raider fan. That performance against the San Diego Chargers must have disgusted you as a Raider fan, because it looks like they'd played with no heart.
Well, I'm happy to say that I did not watch the game.
I had plans on going to the Raider Club to hang out with, a Raider family for one more time before the season ended to watch the game. But I was laid out due to trying to get over a head cold, and my lower back was hurting me, so I decided to stay home. I don't have an NFL package to watch the game, so I had to kind of stay up to date on some of the news flashes and such. But then I ended up taking a nap because I was really tired. But I saw the lowlights, as I'm going to say. It's one of those things where, I mean, it's hard to say what would have happened if they were to actually play that game and win it. And I don't know what's going on with Crabtree. He was being an ass, and from what I saw on the highlights and stuff. But that's just the way things have been going all season, you know. They deserve to get beat by San Diego, or I keep seeing San Diego, Los Angeles. The only bright spot, though, was that the Raider fans showed up.
and they were definitely in force.
blacked out that stadium, which I was hoping what would happen. So, but that was really the highlight, I guess. And then there was that Amari Cooper touchdown.
Well, since we're talking your Raiders, let's go ahead and jump into the news this week, because John Gruden. That is all we have heard about. A lot of it was initially associated with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but out of nowhere, about Thursday, the rumors started that Mark Davis was ready to pay John Gruden $10 million a year to be your head coach with part ownership in the team. Part of that story has, however, been at least changed somewhat, as it's been reported that the NFL owners would never allow that to happen, where Gruden would get part ownership of the team.
Yeah, I don't know. That's something that was thrown out a while ago. I think if they weren't going to get him to be able to coach, was at least, you know, make, you know, give him part ownership and maybe be a new general manager instead of Reggie McKenzie or something like that. But not both. That's just a conflict of interest there. You're not going to give someone a coaching job and partial ownership, because if something starts to fall south with the coaching end, then you know it just gets awkward. So the $10 million range is actually a number that's been floating around for many years now, when people have been trying to court him as a come back as a coach again. And that's a good round solid number for a coach right now, with an average of 5 years.
Yeah. Now, but let me ask you this, Kevin, because of course the rumors were flying, and this is all before Jack Del Rio was fired, and a lot of people thought Del Rio would be back. Well, within an hour of that Charger Raiders game, the story was broken. Jack Del Rio and his entire coaching staff was fired.
I know he was fired. I don't know. I haven't heard about the rest of the coaching staff yet.
The article I had read on USA Today said he was fired along with the entire coaching staff.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I gotta double check that, because I had not heard that. I just heard that he was informed before he was supposed to give his post game interview, and he actually in the interview said that he had been informed. And I just want to say that I really like Jack Del Rio, and it was hard to kind of it was hard to watch him do that, you know, because he was breaking up a little bit, and you know. He was sad, but he understood it's a numbers game. I think he's a great guy. I think he can be a good coach, but he's not an X's and O's guy. And I think he should have been fired, even though it hurts me to say that, because I like the guy. I like the guy as a human being, as a person. You know, I think he's a great guy. But from what happened this year, and not realizing what was going on or taking action with the coaching issues, and apparently losing, it seems like he was losing the locker room too, to a certain degree.
Let me ask you about that, Kevin, because I've heard, at least on NFL Network and ESPN, and they usually on their insiders, they pretty much hit it on the nose. And it was also on Twitter, I believe, on Adam Schefter's Twitter account. something happened before the Sunday night game against the Washington Redskins in the Raider locker room. And they're saying since then, Jack Del Rio had lost the Raiders locker room. And
yeah,
reason why they had problems this
season. We may never know exactly what happened until later on, maybe. But, something happened there. And, there was a couple of highlights, with the win against, KC at home and, the Miami game. But it just – something happened. And I don't think that Carr was getting the leadership that he needed and the coaching that he needed. And Carr needs to – and everyone else not just needs to be coached in the way to play the game, but also the way to be a teammate too. And personally for me, I would have – first of all, I would have everyone standing for the national anthem. When you have someone like Lynch and a couple other people not doing that, it's not about – protesting the national anthem. It's about not showing team unity, and there's just something else that's going on there. Little things like that. And like I said, as much as I love Jack Del Rio as a guy, he did not bring that team together as a team, Yeah. And the other thing too that I gotta be honest with you that really just bugged the crap out of me is I was getting tired of his after game press conferences. They were starting to all sound alike, And there's a few times it felt like he was throwing some people under the bus and it just, it was starting to all sound alike, and the same thing with Carr, he would say the same stuff and, it's all my fault and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you got to stop putting it all on your shoulders. I know you're trying to do the right thing, but we're not stupid. Fans aren't stupid. And it's been a mess. And I'm sad to see him go, but in a way I'm a little bit relieved because changes need to be made. Okay. I'm assuming that the report that you read, if he's gone, I'm sure everyone else is gone. Although I wouldn't mind seeing Pagano back as the defensive coordinator because he was doing a good stuff. But if the rumors are true, and it looks like they are, John Gruden is going to be the next coach of the Oakland Raiders.
Now, okay, let's talk about that. I want to address a couple things with you since your Raiders season is over and stuff like that. First, I want to address the players that are on the field. And I got a couple questions for you about your roster, Kevin. And I think the biggest decision the Oakland Raiders have to make in the offseason as far as personnel on the field, I think you have to address the Marshawn Lynch issue.
Because obviously.
I think even though he played very well, especially the second half of the season, his antics were, I think, a huge distraction.
Oh, yeah, totally. I agree. And I think that, let's just say Gruden is the next coach. I don't think Gruden's going to put up with that crap, to be honest with you. I remember him he's kind of like that drill sergeant type of coach. And that's what the Raiders need. They need a kick in the butt. They need someone like Belichick who is really, really strict. And I don't think that Jack Del Rio was that type of guy. He was going to kind of like, I'm going to let you be you. Just be good on the field, And you got to go further than that. You got to set the culture right. And I personally, if I were a coach, I would not put up with Marshawn's antics. I would say, look, you're going to stand for the national anthem. You're going to play with this team like a team. If you don't, I'm going to sit you. Plain and simple.
Well, and my question is, do you think even there's also still the outside chance Marshawn Lynch might not come back? Anyway,
that's true. And, if he doesn't come back, I'm not going to be heartbroken. Yeah.
The other question I have for you, and this is on the field kind of things, is your Raiders are going to start be looking at some possible salary cap issues because the new Derek Carr contract kicks in. And I know he kind of worked it to try to be team friendly, but you have another major issue, and that is Khalil Mack. He's at least getting the franchise tag offering, which is going to be a pretty huge chunk of change.
And Amari Cooper. Yeah.
And you've got a decision to make about Amari Cooper.
Well, I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give up on Amari Cooper yet personally. And I think there's a lot of talent there, but I think that we're going to lose Crabtree because of he's like got what 8 to 15. He's got a nice chunk of change come to him. Mm. And I think that with his kind of attitude and antics, I think that there's a very good chance they will let him go to free up some cap space to pay towards those other players.
Well, and you guys have, and you know, I look at your roster, and I think the other key position that you're going to have to make a decision on is Donald Penn at left tackle. He's got a big contract, but age is starting to catch up with him.
Yeah, well, I think his contract, I don't know what they made. I think they might have made it an adjustment or something, but I think he's year to year. I don't, maybe he's got one more. I can't remember. But I wouldn't be surprised if they let him go as well because he's getting old. For you know, for this game anyway. If they do bring him on one more year, I could see that happening. But yeah, you know, and yeah.
So then my question would be on the personnel side, is cornerback your number one priority for the offseason?
Yeah. It seems like it has been for the last few years. And, you know, Sean Smith, he just hasn't been consistent. I mean, he finally stepped up the last few games, but to me, that's too little too late.
And your first round pick was a disaster this season.
Exactly, exactly. And it has been, you know, and it's been frustrating. But yeah, I would say definitely another corner and maybe let him go. I don't know the specifics of that contract to where if we can let him go without a huge hit there. But I know that he was contracted through at least two more seasons, I think. Yeah. I think Sean Smith was. Yeah.
And finally, let's talk Gruden. If Gruden is officially the hire, which it does look like it's going to be, but we know how the NFL works. You don't say it's official until the contract is signed on the dotted line.
Also, let's clarify. I know he put a tweet or something out there saying that he knows that he's being considered for it, but he's not. I think he's deflecting right now because he still has contractual obligations for his broadcasting through this. I think he has one more schedule through this weekend.
Well, yeah, wild card weekend.
Yeah, and then I think things will fall into place. But sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I like John Gruden. Of course, I was had a up close and personal with John Gruden too, being here in Tampa for his entire run in Tampa Bay. And this is what I'm going to say about John Gruden. And this is on the positives. I do think he has a great football mind. And I think, you know, he did turn around the Raiders. I think he gave the Bucs the push that they needed in the offensive game plan to get to the Super Bowl. A lot of people say the Bucs, he won it with Dungy's team. I think the defensive side, you can argue with that. But the offensive side, Gruden really made the improvements. And it's where the Bucs needed it. Here's the thing with John Gruden. And I think this is going to be the test as well, with the kind of power he's going to get. And we don't know yet if at $10 million, he's going to have some personnel say. He's got to have some personnel say. And I think for the most part, Reggie McKenzie has done a pretty good job as your general manager. He's had a few misses lately, but I think he's been fairly solid.
I think the most important contribution he's definitely made with a couple of good picks is that he's gotten the Raiders out of the cap issues they used to have.
Yeah. Here's the thing with John Gruden, though. And again, this is going back. There's going to have to be somebody on the personal side that's going to tell him no, because John Gruden will find a way to sign any player he absolutely loves. And he did it here in Tampa, bringing in a bunch of older veterans that he loved, and they were past their prime and in the tank, and there was nobody to tell John Gruden no. And he put the Bucs in cap hell for a few years, and it led to their kind of collapse of their Super Bowl team. You have to have a good personnel man who's strong enough to stand up to Gruden.
I think Reggie McKenzie's that guy.
And I hope so, too. What I'm hoping is that whatever Mark Davis is doing as a deal for Gruden doesn't undercut Reggie McKenzie. That's, you know, and again, this isn't even a Gruden, thing. It's, and you know this better than anybody, how Mark Davis operates.
Right, yeah.
So I think that, and the other concern is, Kevin, and I want to ask you about this. Even though he's been involved in football, he's been doing the scout. He does his video film watching. He does the Gruden's QB camp. He's at the draft. He's doing Monday Night Football. It's still a big difference 10 years in the booth compared to 10 years on the sideline. It's been 10 years since John Gruden has coached an NFL team.
Yeah, you know, I'm not buying that concern, because he's been in football one way or another. He's had his nose to the ground on everything. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen his or heard his you know, when he's doing the broadcasting. He knows his stuff, man, and he's one of the best color analysts out there, because he knows what's going on. And, you know, I think that when it comes to his, I mean, and he's proven his coaching capabilities to a pretty good degree. I mean, if you look at his overall record, that could be questionable, but, you know, he helped turn the Raiders around. And, when all of a sudden he was let go after, you know, that, that Tuck Rule season, which was a huge, huge mistake that Al Davis made. And then Callahan not changing the game plan going into the Super Bowl. Oh my God, that they just pretty much gave the Super Bowl to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think he's the guy. I mean, you know, he's the guy that's going to whip a team into shape. And I think that he can do it. And I think that he knows that if he surrounds himself, I think he's a smart man that he knows that he can surround himself with the right people and the right coaches, assistant coaches. I think he can get it done.
Now, okay, then, and finally, and then we'll move on to the news, Kevin. I want to ask you this. If Gruden is the hire, do you think it's a next season turnaround?
Well, it's got to be better than 6-10, right?
Well, I mean, let's realistically look at the AFC West real quick. Denver's still going to be a mess. Denver's got to get a quarterback. They are surprisingly, I think, keeping Vance Joseph on as their head coach. You look at Kansas City. Yes, I'm excited about where they're at. They're gonna, but they've got a major quarterback decision. And even if they stay with Alex Smith, you kind of know what you're getting. But if they go with Patrick Mahomes next season, we're not sure there that they should be solid. San Diego is a team on the rise, I think, in that division. Their defense is really good. If they can just fix a few things, they're going to be right in the thick of it. I don't think the AFC West is. I'm not going to call it the best division in the NFL anymore. I think that belongs to the NFC South. But the AFC West is very capable of turning it around. I think there's no perfect team in the AFC West. I'm curious to know if you think it's Gruden is enough of a fix to get them back into that contending for the division title.
Well, it's definitely a start. I mean, you know, that's why you know, a lot of Raider fans would say that this season for Raider fans has been the most disappointing in years. And we're not counting those, you know, those, you know, 2-14 seasons and so on and so forth, because we were expected to be bad. Last year, we had all the pieces fall into place, and it felt like either it was the injury to Carr or something like that ended our season prematurely in the first round of the playoffs against Houston. But we had all the pieces going into this season. You know, we had a healthy Carr. You know, we got Marshawn Lynch. You know, everything looked fine. And then it didn't pan out because of something happening, you know, that Redskins game, which is still a mystery. But Gruden, you know, obviously he's a big part of it. I think he'll be a big part of it. But it really depends on how he can get to this team and get them all in the same track and make them a team and not let certain team members be distractions.
I think there'll be a little house cleaning when Gruden comes in. I'll be curious to see about that, but let's move on to Black Monday, because it's the end of the NFL season. There's always going to be coaches firing. So let's look at who got fired. Again, another coach who was actually fired on Sunday shortly after his team lost was Chuck Pagano of the Indianapolis Colts. I think everybody knew that was coming.
Yeah.
We also lost John Fox, fired by the Bears. Again, I think everybody knew that was coming. New York Giants, of course, had already fired Bob McAdoo, so we were good there. The one name that I think is still kind of floating out, people are unsure about, is Bill O'Brien in Houston, because he has not gotten along with Rick Smith, the general manager there. But I did see on the news late yesterday, Rick Smith was taking a leave of absence for the team for family medical issues. I have a feeling Bill O'Brien will be back, because Deshaun Watson absolutely loves
Bill O'Brien. He should be back. He should be back.
Yeah, that team was destroyed by injuries, so.
Bruce Arians, he retired.
Yeah, Bruce Arians retired in Arizona. Also, and we'll tie this in with Arizona, Carson Palmer announced today he was retiring from the NFL, which I'm honestly not surprised by.
Yeah, he should have retired a couple seasons ago. And then was it Caldwell for the Lions?
Yeah, Jim Caldwell, which a lot of people seem surprised about, but then it was revealed the contract he signed before the season was basically a one-year contract with a team option. And, of course, Jack Del Rio, which I think is maybe in some ways the most surprising, because the Raiders signed him to a four-year contract extension before the season started.
Yeah.
So, now, but, and to me, the shocker of all shockers, we were all expecting and had been announced that Marvin Lewis was stepping away from the Cincinnati Bengals at the end of the season. His contract was up. Well, surprise, 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 Marvin Lewis just signed a 2-year contract extension with the Cincinnati Bengals earlier today.
God.
He's Methuselah. He just refuses to die.
Well, I got to give Cincinnati credit and sticking with the same guy. You know, I mean, there's some consistency there, but there's also consistency of not making it to the playoffs, not winning a playoff game. So, yeah.
Andy Dalton's job is safe for another season.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about something here that you said in the last episode, I would be surprised if James Harrison signs with the Patriots. Well, not only does he sign with the Patriots, he has quite a day.
This guy is amazing. I mean, and the Patriots, what is it about, I mean, we both knew this was coming. We pretty much had guessed this, but what is it about the Patriots signing somebody who's thrown, chopped off the block, and they get in a Patriots uniform, and it's like, oh my God, I'm re-energized. I found the fountain of youth.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. Oh, it's because I'm going to win a Super Bowl ring.
Exactly.
He had like 5 tackles and 2 sacks, man. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was absolutely nuts. We'll see what happens in the playoffs and how much of an impact he makes in the playoffs. But don't be surprised to see James Harrison's name pop up quite a bit in the playoffs this season.
I'm curious if that eventual, that AFC matchup against the Steelers again, if James Harrison's gonna get up close and personal with Ben Roethlisberger this time.
Yeah, it'll be quite interesting. But you know what, too, Kevin. With the end of the season also comes the draft order, which is always interesting for that. And one of the things that could have possibly happened was the Cleveland Browns ending up with the top 2 picks in the draft. It didn't quite work out that way. If everybody remembers, Cleveland acquired the Houston Texans first round pick as part of the trade that led to the Deshaun Watson pick for the Houston Texans this past season. And part of that was Houston sent their first round pick to Cleveland in that deal. Well, Cleveland ended up with the first pick overall, and they will also have the 4th pick overall with the Giants and the Indianapolis Colts picking between there. I will say this. I don't understand why Cleveland is keeping Hugh Jackson. I don't get that at all, but I know that their GM at the time, Sashi Brown, was kind of always a controversial hire in the first place, but he left the cupboard pretty full for the new general manager in Cleveland, because not only do they have like something like 10 of the first, 100 picks in the NFL draft this year, they're going to have close to $100 million in salary cap space.
Wow. That's why I'm wondering if they might not be looking for a seasoned quarterback instead of drafting one. You know, I mean, they could still draft one, but, you know, if they trade one of those picks or, you know, allow someone to move up or something, you know, I'm
If I am the Cleveland Browns, I sign a veteran quarterback, I draft one of these top quarterbacks, and let that quarterback sit. If you need to play a young quarterback, go back to Deshaun Kaiser.
Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, you know, remember, we already discussed Colin Kaepernick last time. He's going to be the starting quarterback for whatever XFL team Vince McMahon comes up with.
That would be funny, but he's not. That would be funny, though.
So, for a lot of people, it's time to start taking draft, and this is going to be a loaded draft. And you know what, Kevin, real quick, I know we don't talk a lot of college football on this show, but I just got to bring up a couple of things. Last night was one of the better college football games I had seen in years, and that Georgia Oklahoma game that went into double overtime.
The Rose Bowl, yeah, man.
Which leads to the Georgia Bulldogs, who will play the Alabama Crimson Tide in the national championship game in your hometown of Atlanta.
Yes, yeah.
And I have to just make the quick comment about how it was reported that within hours of the Bulldogs winning the Rose Bowl, StubHub crashed.
Yeah, I was talking with my friend Luke, who I used to work with, and him and his family have had Bulldog season tickets for years now. And I said, so you're going to try and go to the game? He's like, yeah, you got $5,000 you can loan me? We're trying. I was hearing like $1,700 it started at, and it was $2,000. But yeah, I heard it crash, man. That's funny. Yeah.
Now, one of the other things I want to talk about real quick with college football, Kevin, is if close to your area, are you familiar? I know you're not a big college football fan, but are you familiar with the UCF Knights? University of Central Florida Knights?
No.
They went undefeated this season. They're the only Division I school that went undefeated. They didn't get into the college football playoffs. But there is a great story on this team. And that there's a linebacker by the last name of Griffin. He has one hand, and he starts for them.
He's a quarterback? What is he?
He's a linebacker.
He's a linebacker with one hand. Okay.
This kid should be in the NFL. And why? I hope he is that good. He dominated the defensive side of that football game. This
is, he high on sacks, or what makes him good?
He's got a lot of sacks, a ton of tackles, and he just has a motor that will not quit.
Wow.
Kevin, this kid broke his other hand earlier in the season, and with missing one hand and a broken hand, he intercepted the ball twice in one game.
Wow.
I mean, this kid is just a good story, and I really hope the NFL gives him a shot. There's no way he's a first-round pick, but I'd love to see some team in maybe the 6th, 7th round take a shot with this kid. This is a good kid who works his tail off.
Good for him. Jim Abbott of the Angels, the pitcher with one hand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, well, Kevin, I think it's time to get a little wild around here.
Wild card! Playoffs!
Wild card. So, I know this is hard for you this year. You have no real investment.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Actually, I just thought I'm going to ask you, though, after this, after we go over this, because I want to ask you a question about following teams when your team doesn't make the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. So let's start. We'll just look at the schedule right now. The Saturday wild card round games are going to be at 4:30. The Tennessee Titans at my beloved Kansas City Chiefs. As the line stands right now, the Chiefs are favored by 8. The night game at 8:15 Eastern is the Atlanta Falcons at the LA Rams. The line for that is 6.5. We go to Sunday, Buffalo at Jacksonville. The line for that is Jacksonville by 8. We're going to discuss that because that line is way out of line. And finally, the 4:30 afternoon game on Sunday is the Carolina Panthers for the third time at the New Orleans Saints, with the Lions Saints favored by 6.5. Well, let's just do these in order. So that starts with the Tennessee Titans coming to Kansas City. I've said all season, I think the Tennessee Titans are a bad team trying to pose as a good team. You add into the fact that DeMarco Murray is probably not going to play in this game. He's hurt. They struggled to score points against Jacksonville.
But they got another former Alabama running back, though, that's doing quite good.
Derrick Henry, yes, but I think Kansas City has found what they were missing during that middle stretch of the season. Kareem Hunt seems to be going. I think Alex Smith is going. I think at home at Arrowhead, Kansas City is tough to beat, especially in the playoffs. The line might be a little high, but I think Kansas City does beat the Tennessee Titans, because I don't think Tennessee just has the horses to keep up with Kansas City at this
I would
point.
Agree. I would take Kansas City in this game.
So the late game Saturday is Atlanta at the Rams. Atlanta squeaked into the playoffs, winning, taking care of Carolina in the final game of their regular season. Atlanta's been most of the season. They have not been the same football team this season for a number of reasons. And I
got to be honest, though, they did exceed my expectations. I thought they were going to tank this year, but they squeaked into the playoffs.
They broke the trend of late of the team that loses the Super Bowl not making the playoffs.
Right.
But I just can't see them beating the Rams. I think, their defense, I don't think they have any kind of defensive answer for Todd Gurley. And I think the Rams' defense is just too good to the way Atlanta is playing this year compared to last.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see a playoff game at the Coliseum there in L.A. where the Rams are playing until they get their stadium built. But I'm excited for the Rams, moving to L.A. and getting past the whole Fisher thing and what they got going on there. So, I would give the edge to the Rams winning that one as well.
Yeah. Now, on the Sunday games, the early game is Buffalo at Jacksonville with a line of 8. There is no way I am making this an 8-point game. We'll be lucky if this game finishes 14-7. I think it could easily be one of those boring all field goal 9-3 games.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of points there, given the history of the Jacksonville offense. Minus last week's game, though, they've been playing a little bit better. But yeah, that's too many points there.
Well, come on. Are we really excited about the playoff matchup of Blake Bortles versus Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah. I think, though, Buffalo has a chance to upset this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think Buffalo is going to come in fired up. Buffalo cannot beat Pittsburgh or New England. They don't have the horses to do it. But this of all the games screams the most likely to be an upset game to me. And finally, again, for the third time, these two teams just can't get away from each other. Carolina at New Orleans. I'm bored, Kevin.
Yeah. But it's got to be played, man. Gosh, man. I got to give it to New Orleans, though. I'm a little not too comfortable with that 6.5, 6-point spread, though. But home field advantage is definitely going to help here. I think New Orleans is going to pull this out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think New Orleans is going to win this home field advantage, and I think they have too much of a wild card player in Alvin Kamara. I think he's going to have a huge game. So,
go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. I know what you were going to ask me, so go ahead.
So I got a question. Now, we all do this as football fans. We obviously have the team that we bleed for. You know, I'm the Oakland Raiders. You know, obviously yours is the Chiefs. But you know, when your team doesn't make it in the playoffs, you still tend to kind of root for another team, maybe another two until things get, you know. And then when the Super Bowl comes and your team's not part of it, you still kind of root for someone to win for one reason or another. I want to talk about that with you real quick. Okay. Obviously, you're invested in the playoffs because your team, and I hope that's them on the phone right there, by the way.
Yeah.
If your Kansas City wasn't in the playoffs right now, let's just say the worst thing happens, they get eliminated and Tennessee wins. What teams in the playoff hunt right now would you kind of root for?
Oh, I think it's actually very easy. First of all, anybody who's playing against the Patriots.
I hear that so often, and I totally agree, but yeah.
But honestly, it's one of two teams, and they're both in the NFC. I wouldn't mind seeing the Rams or the Vikings make the Super Bowl, because I think the Vikings would be a great story, becoming the first team that is their city is hosting the Super Bowl to the Super Bowl. And I think there's a very legitimate chance of that. And I think the Rams are just a great story. They've been terrible for so long. Get this great young rookie coach in Sean McVay, who's turned around Jared Goff. Gurley's come back around. They've got some great players on defense. I mean, the only part against that I can't even feel really bad about it with the Rams is because they actually moved back to the place where they were originally from. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing the Rams in there. I could care less about New Orleans. Drew Brees is a class act, but he's got his ring. Carolina, it's Cam Newton. I can't ever root for Cam Newton. In the AFC, I do like Mike Tomlin as a coach. So I think in the AFC, I would maybe have to, you know, kind of support Pittsburgh. Tennessee is boring to me. Jacksonville or Buffalo would be kind of cool, but I don't think they have a chance at all. So I think really it would be Pittsburgh.
Well, me being a Raiders fan, I usually will tend to root for someone in the NFC if my Raiders are out of it. And I'm with you. I'm on rooting for the Rams or Vikings to see what happens there. By the way, on real quick note on the Rams, you notice this last game, they went with the yellow and gold.
Yeah, I did notice that.
What's up with that?
I maybe because it was the last game of the season, they were doing like a throwback or something
Yeah, I was wondering if that was a throwback thing, because you notice they lost, right?
Yeah.
Stick with the blue and white helmets, man. Those are really sharp. I like those blue and white unis too, with the little small gold trim. I was like, man, is Flipper Anderson on that team? What's going on?
Yeah, where's Jim Everett?
Yes. Or is Tony Romo? What was that?
Tony Banks?
No. What was the that famous interview with Romo?
Jim Rome.
Had Everett
Chris?
On there. And he called him Chris, and they ended up getting a little fight on the stage there.
Kevin, if you call me Chris one more time.
Okay, Chris. But anyway, yeah, so that's where I stand. I, you know, if there's a if there's an AFC team I would like to see make it, I would have to say probably either Jacksonville or Buffalo.
Yeah.
Just because Jacksonville, just because they've never made it, you know, they finally have a team that's competitive. Yeah. But I'm sticking with the NFC right now. I'm favoring more of the Rams just because I grew up in LA and I like to see them kind of, you know, do something with their, you know, being back in LA and I like what's going on there. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, I think we would be remiss, even though the regular season is over and all fantasy leagues are now over and done with.
No. Fantasy is not done yet.
Let me finish. I said all regular season fantasy.
Okay.
But we've got the NFL playoff challenge.
Yes, yes. I just had our friend Jennifer Walk, who's in a couple of our leagues here, ask about this. And if you want to continue playing fantasy through the playoffs and the Super Bowl, this is how you do it. NFL.com, NFL Fantasy's got the NFL Playoff Challenge, and it's a lot of fun. And you can play a new team each week, depending on which teams get eliminated from the playoffs. And you basically pick a quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, a tight end, a kicker, and a defense. The trick though is that if you play one particular person more than once, you get double points the second round you play them. And if you play them again, if their team survives for the third round or whatever, you get triple points and so on. So you gotta kind of plan ahead on who you think's going to make it deep into the playoffs. But then you also got to have a couple spots open just in case that team gets eliminated. So be careful about going all Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, you won't get any points the first week and that might hurt you. But you might want to bank on a few anyway. So Kyle, you're joining my league, my Reitzel playoff league. And we got a few other people too that have also, joined on this league. So I'm going to invite people from the NFL and the Yahoo league as well. Cause it's free to play, free to join. And yeah, it's really fun.
So without giving away too much, Kevin, but is there one or two players that you see in the wild card weekend who would be worth taking a selection on, do you feel?
Well, Todd Gurley, first of all.
Well, he's, of course, you all, yeah, but he's not playing in the wild card weekend. I'm talking about active players that are playing this weekend.
No, Todd Gurley's playing.
Oh, yeah, playing. Yeah, Gurley. Yeah, Gurley is playing.
Yeah, Todd Gurley, you got to start just because let's say he wins this weekend with the Rams. Then next week you get double points for him. But if he gets eliminated, at least you get those points and they stay. But you want to start looking at players from teams that you think will make it in. You know, you want to bank on a couple, like maybe a couple of Patriots or maybe a couple of Antonio Brown. You know. You might want to start him this week, even though you're not going to get any points for him when he does play. In the second round, the divisional playoffs, you're going to get double points for him because you did start him, even though he was on, a bye this week, sort of. Yeah. You know.
Well, I have three players who I think are the strongest considered starts, but they all play running back, Kevin.
I think it's
Todd Gurley. I think it's Kareem Hunt, and I think it's Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, those are definitely good ones to start. I would definitely. Yeah, I mean, Alvin Kamara maybe a little more, but Kareem Hunt's also Alvin and Kareem, don't they both get return as well?
No, Kareem does. Kamara does. Kareem does not.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, I would favor Kamara in that one, but yeah,
and I'll be honest with you, there's only one quarterback out of this bunch I think that's actually worth a start.
What's that?
Jared Goff.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, then you got to think, you know, how far is he going to make in the playoffs? If he does
make
it.
I think the Rams could go deep, but when you're looking at Brady and Roethlisberger on the board. Oh, but I know you're waiting for Nick Foles, Kevin.
Yes. Nick Foles, please. But check out NFL.com, and if you're if you're looking for my stuff, look for the Reitzel Playoff League and see if you want to go ahead and join that. It'll be fun. You know, you can match up and see what happens. Bob and I have a little side bet going. We have whoever the winner is of this, the loser has to find a unique item that has their favorite team's logo or picture on it. That, not just like a hat or a jersey or, you know, a shirt or something. It has to be something kind of fun or unique.
Yeah. So, well, Kevin, with that real quick, let's talk about what other things are going on the Phantom Podcast Network that people can find, because we got some really fun stuff going on right now. And, I was going to ask you to kick it off with something we did right at the end of the year, which is the Culture Clash Holiday Special.
Yes, we did the Culture Clash Holiday Special. We looked back on the year. A lot of the, big movie stuff that was happening, big news, Disney and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, man, we had a lot of stuff going on, and that was kind of, it was fun to we had Norm on there. Who else did we have on there?
Michael Morris popped in for a little bit, because we talked a lot of Last Jedi with that episode again, too.
That's right. Yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Of course, then recently we had we had Norm give his take on seeing The Last Jedi as well.
And of course, also on Culture Clash, I did a Doctor Who special with our good friend Davis Grayson and Dan Hadley from the Space Book that came out right before the release of the Doctor Who Christmas special. And we talked about kind of the history of the modern Doctors, and we talked about what we're looking forward to now that we have our new Doctor in Jodie Whittaker. So, Kevin, I don't know if you watched any of that or have seen at least online, they've shown a lot of the regeneration.
No, I have
Capaldi
not.
To Jodie Whittaker.
How'd that turn out?
I was very impressed with it. I think it was a great ending for Capaldi, and I think we got a little bit more of Jodie Whittaker than anybody expected to get, and I think they handled it brilliantly. I'm very excited for the upcoming season of Doctor Who. But I know over at Couch Potato Theater, we've been doing a lot of real fun stuff.
Oh, yes. Of course, recently we've had Doomsday, and we just recently released Harley Davidson, the Marlboro Man. And coming soon, we're going to be doing a little bit of Tango and Cash.
Yeah, exactly. Tango and Cash. Cash and Tango. Always getting in my way. Now, but you guys have been doing some cool stuff over at Blood of Kings, too.
Yes, definitely. We did a wrap-up with Carmel McPherson and John Mosby about just kind of talking about the whole wrap-up of the Highlander convention that we went to in October and what went into that. And they talked about how they planned it and possibly the future of Highlander Worldwide Conventions, and it was really fun. But we also did one of the most popular episode fan picks. We did a two-part series. Part two is going to be releasing this week of Duende, which has one of the famous fight scenes in there with a friend of the network's Anthony DeLongis. And so it was good to go over that as well. Really excited. And then we also did a year-end review Blood of Kings as well that you were on.
Yeah, and that, I know that's coming soon for Blood of Kings. And, of course, Kevin, we went through the time warp and finished out 1987.
Yes, we did part four following through the holiday season of 1987, and of course we had Aaron Gill on, yourself, and we also had Davis Grayson on to talk about the toys. But I'm happy to announce what we're going to be covering soon on the Time Warp for this year. Now, you would think that we would be doing 1988 because it's 30 years ago, right?
Wait, Kevin. I'm having a malfunction with the flux capacitor.
Yep, exactly. Yep. We are not going back to 1988. We're going back a little further. We're going back to 1985.
Wow, that's heavy, man. That's really heavy.
That's real heavy. Everyone's saying heavy. Is there something weird with the gravitational pull? We're going back to 1985, of course, which is the year that Back to the Future came out, and as well as many other very cool movies. And it was I decided to go back further because of how big that year was with movies and pop culture as well. And so, as usual, we'll be doing a four-part series on 85. And talking about the year that was then, just to give a little tease, that was the year that the press coined 1985 the year of spies.
And finally, Kevin, it's been on a little hiatus, but I think the Discoville is due back soon.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be bringing Discoville back because we've got the return of Star Trek Discovery. I think it's on the 7th. And we're also excited in a couple weeks, too. We're getting a first official Orville, I guess, merchandise, which is the book, The World of the Orville. And that's what Discoville covers. We talk about Star Trek Discovery and the Orville.
Yeah. And you know, I have a suggestion. I don't know if we'll do it or not, but I think it would be kind of interesting for Discoville. But I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait until I pass it by the censors before I bring it up on air. So yeah, I gotta ask this question to the Discoville Union, shall we say, and the Federation and Union of Discoville to see if they would be interested in doing this. But I want to tease it just a little bit because we're not sure yet. We're gonna wait and see what happens. Kevin's going, what is he talking about? I want to know what he's talking about. He will find out shortly.
Darn it, I want to know.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, a certain show did a kind of Star Trek-esque episode that you posted about on your Facebook.
Yeah, that's right. Black Mirror did. Yeah.
I'm thinking that might be something because we are on a break on the Orville still.
Right.
I think
it'd
be at least having a little fun addressing that because it's gotten a lot of hype.
I think that's an excellent idea. We'll look into that. That would be a good idea.
Well, we'll talk to Captain Lau about that.
Yes.
And with that, though, that's all the great stuff on Fandom Podcast Network. The Wild Card Weekend is upon us. And, Kevin, I'm heartbroken because we are going to go months now with no Jimmy G.
Oh, Jimmy G. I'm going to miss you.
We love you, Jimmy G.
We love you. Kyle loves you more, though.
Oh, well, you know. He's got that chin.
Brady.
And with that, we are going to call the audible. And once again, we can all have faith that Jimmy G will take us to score once again in the end zone.
Jimmy G. Driver, take away my worries of today.